All right, let's start reading. I'll start reading at verse 1 of Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him meaning Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." Now, the force of faith. When I look at this again, we're talking about how faith works, and that faith is a force, a spiritual force. If you know anything about spiritual things, you know that physical things are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. Physical things are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. Now, all through the Gospels, Jesus talks about faith and believing, and even Paul, as he writes the epistles, the same thing. As a matter of fact, he says that the just shall live by faith. That's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so, if you're going to live by something, you certainly need to know how it works, because this is what you're going to have to live by. Now, we're talking about the people of God now. You know, I was talking to one of our employees, our director this afternoon, and we were talking about David coming to the front line. And as David came to that front line, remember what Saul tried to do? He tried to hang his armor on David. How many of y'all remember that? Goliath was there, and of course they were fearful and afraid, and he tried to hang his armor on David. But David said something to him. You can find it in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He said that, "I haven't proven this. I haven't tested this out." And I really think that's one of the tricks of the enemy, is to try to get you to leave the realm of faith and come down and operate in the realm of the natural, where mainly the masses are being controlled by the spirit of fear. Okay? And he said, "I haven't checked this out." And he took it off and he advanced toward the front line. He told King Saul, "I slayed a lion and a bear and I can take this big guy." Now, I think some people don't advance to the front because they're looking too hard at the size of the giant rather than the size of their faith. That they haven't looked at their faith as being, see, there are giants out here. And that's what some of the 10 spies spoke when they came back. They said, "Hey, they're giants in that land. We can't take them." Well, you can't take them in your own strength. And the trick of the enemy is try to reduce you and me to fighting him in our own strength.
Yes, sir.
And that's not where you want to be. That's a losing proposition, because no human can defeat Satan. But if you ever get this human that's operating in faith, faith moves the hand of God. Faith is a force that can do the impossible anytime. faith can even cause time to speed up and slow down. That's how powerful faith is. And so Jesus kept asking many times, well, where is your faith? So the enemy is not after us. What is he after? He's after our faith. Because he knows faith will defeat him every time. Not one time, every time. Now, this is all through here. Now, these women, let me just cover this and then we'll go through some of this other. You notice what happened? They picked up the oil. They bought spices. They knew the tomb was sealed. Yet, they bought the spices. Come on now. They knew the tomb was sealed. Yet they bought spices to anoint him. Yoo-hoo. Are you following what I'm saying? That is the same principle of calling things that be not as though they were. Same principle. And faith has an operation, and that's what, you know, she was pointing out to me this afternoon. We're talking about the process. See, sometimes you the enemy. Well, let me say with this. So here, this idea of walking by faith is not walking by common sense. You got what I'm saying? It's walking by faith. It's something in the heart that's got to be released when you act on it, when you act on it, it's released, and when it's released, it can do what no human can do. Nobody can move that tomb, that rock. So I want you to see that here, because it was there. Now, another case is over in Luke chapter 17. Come over there, please. Luke chapter 17. You know, in our tithing, God every now and then tells us to elevate our tithing. Now, like I said, it was a little book I got this from, because some of the other people who've gone on before me told me about it, and I got the book. It was called A Graduated Tithe. I haven't been able to find it since. A very small, little thin book, $1 book or something, and it's called A Graduated Tithe. But anyway, it talked about tithing by faith. So God gives us another number. He said, I want you to boost your tithe, you know, 2%, 3%, whatever have you. Well, each time when we do that, he then comes back, and by the end of the year, he has met our income according to that new level. Now, why won't people do that? They won't do it because they're looking to boost the income before they obey God. In other words, they want to see something, feel something, you know, everything, before they can act on what God has said. Lord have mercy. Do you follow what I'm saying? Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, well, and you know, that's all right. Verse 11, and it came to pass when he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And It came to pass that as they went, what happened? They were cleansed. Suppose they didn't went. Do you follow what I'm saying? Suppose they didn't went. Suppose they sat there and said, we can't, we got the leprosy. What would have happened? Nothing. But once they acted on his word, believing him, not being able to have all the answers, but acting on what they heard, then the force of faith kicked into operation and removed the cancerous, leprous thing that was in their body. You got what I'm saying? So the enemy might try to put something on you, but faith can get it off. Say amen here. And folks, we need to have more of this, because what has happened is the Bible tells us to take heed what we hear. Let's go over there. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel in chapter 4, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. All right, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Look what he says. He says this, verse 21. And he said to them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel and under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, what? Let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. See? So you got to take heed what you hear. Now, I'm saying that because faith has to be fed. But so does fear. God tells us to fight one fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. Did he tell you to fight the devil?
No.
Did he tell you to fight people?
No.
Did he tell you to fight denominations? He tell you to fight one fight, the good fight of faith. Why is it good? We win how many times? Every time. There are no win a few, lose a few. We win in every one. Now, fear is something that we have to make sure that it stays out of our lives. And this idea about faith, when it comes in, sometimes it has a tendency to make you seem just a little bit radical. Uh-oh, I'm talking about somebody right now. Okay, so let's go back now to Mark's Gospel and Mark chapter 2, please. Mark chapter 2. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2. I know this is right. I said, I know this is right. Amen. See, and Lord have mercy. I'm going to talk about it. The spirit of fear. Just write down the spirit of fear. Look at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why are you reasoning these things in your hearts? Whether it's easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, it's just as easy to be healed as it is to be saved. Come on now. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your house. And immediately, I like Mark, because Mark always talk about immediately and straightway and right now. Hallelujah. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Wow. Now, notice how the spirit of faith made them seem a little radical. Say amen to this. And sometimes you can't hang around. Come on now. You know, my challenge is to stay kind and in love when folk try to bring fear or something other than faith to me. See, I know when faith is present because faith... faith... Hold it, just a minute. Mm-hmm. Faith has to be exercised. And if you don't, you'll lose faith dexterity. Lord, see, how many of you have been fishing before? Okay. And you throw that thing out there. Now, what are you waiting on? Yeah, okay, you waiting on something to bite, but what indication do you have that something's on there? Okay, you got a bob out there, all right? Now, how many of you know a good experienced fisherman can feel when something's on that hook? Come on now. But if you stay away from fishing for years and go back out there, You thought you felt something, pull it up. The worm's gone. Everything's gone. They ate everything you had. And you still didn't get, you follow what I'm saying? Why? You lose your dexterity. But see, because I operate in faith every day trying to, whatever I do and messages that I bring to you like tonight, I had to get it by faith. I had to say, Father, I thank you this morning. This is one of the finest Wednesday night messages I've ever preached. See, I said that not even knowing what he wanted me to say. But see, I'm rolling away the stone. You got what I'm saying? See, faith has got to be acted on. You've got to speak it. You've got to say it. David had to say something to Goliath. He said, Goliath, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. He was releasing faith. Faith causes the hand of God to move. To move when? This day. So I go somewhere and I don't know what it is, and the enemy's been coming against me. I mean, just like tonight. I mean, I put on six shirts. One of them had a button missing. I got that one. Now I'm getting late now. What I'm next thing? Now I knew that was the enemy. He was trying to test me, tempt me, and make me get out of faith. Because now I'm getting anxious and so forth. I said, whoop, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now I'm sitting up there, no shirt on. And all exposed, and I said, now, I mean, I had my pants on, and I said, you know, are y'all following what I'm saying? You see, you got to fight the what? Good fight of faith. See, you got to stay in faith. If you made that confession, you got to stay there. Say amen to that, because you can't go by how you feel or what's coming against you. You can't go by how it looks or what somebody said. You got to go by one thing, the word of God. If God said it, that's what you believe. And if that's what you believe, that's what you speak. That's what you say. That's what you act on. That's what you do. Say amen to that. If God says wealth and riches are in your house, you start saying what God said, and pretty soon something gonna have to start happening, because faith will dominate in this earth. Praise God in heaven. Oh, I was going through it at home. And man, now I figured out about the fourth shirt. I figured out, I said, okay, that's what this is here. This here is something the devil's trying to put in my way. Say amen to that. Yeah, go show yourself to the priest. Well, that wasn't legal, because if you still got signs of the leprosy, you're not supposed to go. But as they went, see, they weren't looking on all the evidence on the outside. They were looking for the evidence of faith. Are you following what I'm saying? And this is a piece that helps you to cross over to the other side. Now you're about to get your inheritance, because your inheritance has to be received by faith. Are you with me? All right. Now, where are we now? Where do I have somewhere? Okay. All right. So, now, let's go to 2 Timothy, and chapter 1. 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And if you get that, put something right there. And let's go to Luke chapter 21. We're going to go to 1 Timothy first, and then we're going to go back to Luke in chapter 21. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's do Luke chapter 21 first. Are you with me? Verse 26. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, talking about the last days, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for what? Fear. See? Because they're going to be looking at some things that are going to be coming on the earth. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Now, I know we have natural hearts. And you will find when somebody gets frightened, now watch it, watch me. When somebody gets frightened, here's what they usually do. Am I right about it? See, they grab their heart. You see, it's interesting how they do that. But I believe it's not the physical heart first that he's talking about. I believe it's your spirit. It will fail to produce. That in these last days, fear will take over the hearts. And mankind is not going to be able to produce things that he'd like to produce, and fear will control his or her life. Now, look at 2 Timothy in chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Hello? Look at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Keep going. But of power, come on, and of love, and of a sound mind. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So if you have fear, did it come from God? Nope. Didn't come from God. See? And somebody says, well, Pastor, you know, now, you got to watch it now because, you know, a little fear is kind of healthy for you. A little fear is healthy, okay? Well, let's look and see what the scripture says about that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, because a little fear is healthy. You ready? Look at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the who? Fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolatry and all liars shall have their part in the lake. Now, he's not talking about Lake Michigan. He's talking about the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, my point to you is no fear. No fear. I just would like you one day to meditate no fear. And I would like to see how it changes your conversation. I'd like to see how it changes your behavior when you have no fear. No fear. No fear of what people think about you. No fear of what people say about you. No fear of if this does not work. No fear. I wonder how you would act if you had no fear. Zero. I mean absolute zero fear. When you're talking about temperatures, you know, water boils at what temperature? 200 and water boils at what? Okay, we all don't know. Okay, then you have absolute zero at I think 200 and a minus 232 degrees centigrade or something like that. But that's when there is no heat. They said there's no heat at all at that absolute zero. I'm talking about absolute fear, absolute faith. I'm talking about a time where you have no fear in you at all. No fear. No fear. No fear. See, the fear and a little bit is designed to contaminate your faith. But suppose you had no fear. No fear of getting cancer. No fear. Come on now, help me now. Because Jesus had no fear. No fear. I would like to see how you would act with no fear. Guaranteed, your actions would be different. Because we've been trained with fear. No fear. Jesus had no fear of the devil, no fear of disease, no fear of running out, no fear of not pleasing the Father, no fear. Didn't care what you thought. Amen. Now he could hear God perfectly because there's no fear. No fear. And I believe when David moved up to that front line, that's what he moved up in. He moved up in an attitude of no fear. He had been back there with them sheep, keeping them sheep on the side of that mountain, and killed a bear, the Bible says, with his bare hands. Killed a lion with his bare hands. 17-year-old boy about my size. Come on, I had to put that in there. Come on now. Me and David, you know. But you know why he could do that? Because the power of God could flow through him uninterrupted by fear. Fear interrupts the power of God in your life. You watch it. The bolder you get, the clearer you can hear. Try it. The bolder you get in God, you can hear it so clear until I'm telling you, you can hear it on a level that you never heard it before in your life. The fearful, the whoremongers, boy, that's in the classes, you know. The sorcerers all going to be thrown in the lake. Well, a little fear is healthy. No. A little fear gets you in the lake. Now you go back in there. You go and watch how the enemy tries to induce fear in your life. First of all, he'll have you to turn on TV and watch the news. Come on and watch what's going on. And then while that, he'll play it back in your mind three or four times and say, well, you know, they're going to break in your car too. You know, you're going to get broke. You know, one day you're going to be like that. And I told people, the enemy will try to use a flip chart. He said, well, now, do you believe you're going to have this right here in 10 more years? You said, no, I'm not going to have that. There ain't no way. Okay. All right, now, you're going to have this right here in 10 more years. You're going to be crippled, and you're going to fall and can't get up, and so forth and so on. Yeah. They. Now, the word says you're going to go out of here long, live long and be strong. That's what the word says. Then he'll flip it again. Pretty soon, he said, now, your aunt had this. Uh-oh. And this is what your mind might say. I believe that's what I got. You know, okay. All right. Okay. Now, fear has cousins. And some of the cousins, one of them is doubt. Turn with me over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, please. Come on, I'm running out of time. Matthew chapter 14. Are y'all with me? We got to knock the devil in the head. We got to hit fear in the head, folks. I'm telling you, the reason why people don't sow what God tells them to sow, or listen to God, or act on what God tells them to do, or witness to what God's saying to do, or have the house that God wants them to have, or whatever have you, I can guarantee you fear got a hand in there somewhere. But from this day forward, I command the spirit of fear to leave your life and leave your life now in Jesus' name. Hey! I mean, I want you to be so bold, boy. I'm telling you, amen to that. Don't be scared. I mean, now that thing, it'll try to come back in on you, but cast that thing back off. No. I ain't fearing nothing. No, I'm not fearing. I'm not going to get there on time. I'll be there on time. I command this traffic to move right now. I'm going to dominate this traffic right now. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not fearing right now. See, and fear will make you run up your credit card. I ain't going to say much more about that. Okay. So what happened here? Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he said he is there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The enemy doesn't want you to get to your destiny. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 and 6 in the morning, Jesus went into them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for what? Fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good what? Be of good what? Be of good what? It is who? I. Be not what? Afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, what? Come. Praise God. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. to go to Jesus. I'll bet you Peter got rid of fear. All of it left for a minute. And when fear leaves, you can do the impossible. You'll be able to do things, walk on water, speak to mountains, command diseases. That I'm telling you, tell money to come. I'm telling you, what's been contaminating our faith has been fear. And this is your days of struggling with fear are over tonight. You, I decree, will never be resisted by the spirit of fear again in your life. And verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth, verse 30, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid, and beginning to what? Sink. And he cried, saying what? Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of, come on, little faith, keep going. Wherefore did you doubt? I used to think that was little faith, meaning that like you can have a lot of money or you can have a little money. That is not that translation. That translation means, why did you have such a short burst of faith? See, he had enough faith to walk, but he started looking at his human and natural circumstances and began to think more about them than he did about the Word of God. And once you do, here comes faith, and faith enters in. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but come on, power, keep going, love, and what else? A sound mind. That is a mind that is fixed on the Word of God. It is a mind that will not take its eyes off the Word of God. It's a mind that stays filled with the Word of God. Your faith needs to be filled every day. You can't feed on CNN and feed on some reruns of whatever have you and think you can get up and have strong faith. I'm saying it's all right to see those things, but make sure you feed your faith. Make sure you give your faith something to eat in the morning. That's why my broadcast is on in the morning. I'm giving people some breakfast. I'm giving their spirits some food to eat so that they can whip the devil all day long. Praise God. Hey! Hey! I'm running out of time, so let me just give you these. Another cousin of fear is anxiety. Anxiety. It says, be anxious for what? Nothing. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by what? Prayer and what? Supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Another cousin of fear is stress. Stress. It's disguised fear. The enemy tries to get you stressed out. Your days of being stressed out are over. Say amen to that. Another cousin of fear is worry. Aren't you worried? That boy hadn't been home by this time of night. Aren't you worried? No, no. Jesus said, cast all your care over on him, and he'll go find that boy and bring him home. Say amen to that. So, here's the rule for you. Don't try to deal with fear naturally. Natural things cannot change spiritual things. You have to go the other way around. Say amen to that. So, when you're dealing with fear, make sure you're dealing with it with the Word of God. When the enemy came to Jesus, Jesus kept saying one thing, it is risen. Say amen to that. It is risen. So, now, faith will bring you the healing, the blessing, the joy, and fear will go out. Romans 10:17. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The enemy wants to starve your faith and feed your flesh. But I'm here to tell you right now, you're going to feed your faith and starve your doubts to death from this day forward. He told Joshua, this is the way you're going to take that land. Thou shalt meditate in my word day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, I'm telling him, when faith rises up inside of you, the enemy knows that he is defeated. So if you don't have enough faith yourself, be like the man that was laid with palsy on that mat. Get your four crazy friends and tell them to use their faith and help you get up from where you are. David said in Psalm 34 and verse 4, Lord have mercy. Psalm 34 and verse 4, he said this. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, you can be delivered from every fear that you have. Fear of growing old. Fear of being diseased. Fear of failing in school. Fear of not having enough. I'm telling you, God can deliver you from all your fears. He said this, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be free from all your fears. So now, from this day forward, when God says something to you in his word, you take his word and you choose to believe. And once you do, you start moving out on his word and you will reach your promised land. Give the Lord a shout. Take your seats. Now, what's come alive? It's called the force of faith. The spirit of faith is in here now. Spirit of faith. They do it in ball games. All the ball players get together and they put their hands on top of one another. Building the spirit of faith. Folks, no more fear.
No more fear. No more fear.
No more fear about what somebody else thinks about me. No more fear. If you're here tonight, God has spoken to you about being born again. This is your night. This is your time. I want to let you know right now, you didn't think of you coming here. God brought you here. He knew this night was coming before the foundation of the world, because he knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him.